Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We got knocked off the air by a thunderstorm bolt, so we're back on for the time being right now. And we're going to be bringing in our next guest, who is the new, soon-to-be new Indiana High School Athletic Association Commissioner, Paul Neidig. Paul, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. And good morning. I'm glad to be joining you guys today.
Well, I'm just, I don't know exactly what we're doing right now. Now, to be honest with you, because it's a mess. So I don't know, I thought we had things taken care of, but obviously we don't. So we just go ahead and go from there. So how you been?
I've been good. Been good. You know, we've just been, just been excited and patiently waiting to get back in contact with our kids and start preparing for the fall sports season.
You know, and the thing of it is that with everything, it's everything that's going on, you're not real sure exactly how this is going to transpire, do you?
No, I don't think we have all the answers yet. And, you know, the only person that does is probably the one with the crystal ball, and I don't know that person yet.
I don't think I do either.
But I can tell you, we have a plan in place that puts us back in the fall on traditional timelines and puts us playing football and volleyball and soccer and golf and tennis just like we have every other year. But but we're also remaining flexible and willing to adjust and do what we need to do to get back playing education-based athletics.
Do you honestly think you're going to get some sports in this fall, and if so, how much?
I really do. I think the good thing about the fall is everything that we can test is outdoors, other than volleyball. Volleyball is an indoor, and typically volleyball we could socially distance inside most gyms. I mean, we have certainly the outliers, the really big crowds, but we can socially distance, we can spread out outside, we have low contact sports with golf and tennis and some of those. So I really do think that we're going to get back at it here in the fall. But I don't think it's going to be easy. I think there'll be challenges ahead of us, but that's kind of where we're at.
What's going to be the plan for football? I mean, that's the one everybody's gearing at. So what's the plan going to be for that one?
Well, I mean, right now we're scheduled to play football. We're following the governor's guidance and Department of Education, and we're ready to go. Now, we fully know that, there could be some setbacks. God forbid somebody or a kid or somebody tests positive along the way, and we'll be aware of that and work with local health departments and state health departments to adjust as we need to. But, you know, we're prepared to play football. We're going to play as we have every other year. There's really not a lot of rule adjustments that you can make to the game. You know, the official still has to set the ball, and we still got to chop the clock in. But, you know, we're looking at some things on how, you know, just think about a quarterback who calls a play and takes his mouthpiece out and puts his mouthpiece back in and then throws a football. You know, we've got to be able to provide some guidance around those types of things. But we're going to play as safe as we can.
So is the plan that's out there that you guys are going to be, that you guys are following, is that going to allow you to play like you think you can play?
That's right. The plan that we're following allows us to play like we have every other year. But, again, that's what we know today. You know, as we get closer to the season, could it change? Absolutely it could. But I think that's where we have to remain flexible and ready to adjust as things change.
Now, when teams go to certain places to play, are they going to get tested or get a temperature check when they go in, or how are you going to start with that? How are you going to operate with that this year?
Well, each individual school corporation, local community can set their own standard around that. Some do temp checks, some do questionnaires. What I would suspect is that that'll be handled by the local coaches. So when kid gets on a bus, they'll institute their school's protocols, whether it's a questionnaire or whether it's a temp check. And we're going to just trust that that's been handled by the team coming into the facility, and then the facility will handle their own kids, or the home team will handle their own kids.
How are you guys going to handle a situation where if a kid is fine going in but then gets sick during a game, how are you going to handle that kid? Are you going to put him off to the side, or, you know, especially if he's playing a road game, how are you going to handle that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that's a great question, you know, and I think we'll have to, if we think a kid gets sick with a temperature or something develops after during the game, then we'll have to isolate that kid and getting back in touch with his family as quick as we can. And that may be, you know, family come to get him once we isolate. It may be take a small bus from the school and getting back home. But we'll have a plan in place. And plus, most of our places have a trainer that is trained and can help facilitate that also.
I take it are you guys trying to limit the time of travel between for opponents to go play each other? Is that even entered into the picture yet?
Nah, the really schedules are set already.
Okay.
It's hard to adjust those schedules, especially football schedules. And again, that's really a local control decision, but we've not provided, and the state hadn't provided any guidance on length of travel.
Okay. What's your chances of playing a full schedule, you think?
I think, you know, we're planning on it, you know.
Okay.
And I'm really confident that we're going to get a football season in. I can't guarantee that.
No.
I don't believe anybody can, you know, but I think we have to go in optimistic. We have to plan on a full schedule, and that's the only way that we can think right now.
How much is football going to play a part as far as your financial part of things? I know you guys everybody's hurting. Let's just put it out there where it is.
Yeah.
How important is football for you guys?
Well, football is certainly important for us, just as is the local high school. You know, it's our biggest tournament in the fall as far as income. And, you know, we're a fortunate, you know, Indian High School Athletic Association has prepared, for a day such as this. So we are, we're fortunate, but, you know, it can't go on forever, and we have to return to sport and some sort of revenue. And certainly football is a big piece of that. So I would say it's very important. But it is for every other state association in the country. I know some that if they don't have fall football season, fall football tournament, they may have to close the doors.
And that's not a good situation at all.
No, it's not. It's not, you know. And so that's what we're faced with. So, you know, I'm fortunate that we've prepared for that with the conservative Midwest values that we have. You know, we have to prepare for those things, and we have done that. But we can only, you know, extend things so long without revenue coming in from tournaments.
Do you anticipate a lot of fractured or partial seasons getting played this year?
I think that's a possibility that we have to plan for. And I think the example is what happens if a team does have a player or two that tests positive and the team quarantines. you know, and I think that's a scenario that we've been discussing. You know, and our initial thought on that is it would become a no contest. You know, we're not going to penalize the team because of illness.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that is the distinct possibility, and it's happened in other states. Iowa has already started playing softball and baseball. They
right.
have a fourth season. And they've got, as of last week, they had at least three teams that I'm aware of that were quarantined because of a kid on the team or a student-athlete tested positive for COVID. And so they just quarantined the team 15 days. Then once they come back, they'll pick up where they left off, and we're going to have similar plans in place here in Indiana.
So if one kid or maybe two test positive, you're going to quarantine the whole team, or how are you going to do that?
We won't. That'll be a local decision. That'll
okay.
be a school corporation decision. That'll be a local health department decision. I can just speak to what I know has happened in other places at this particular time.
Okay. So it looks like we're looking, you know, for some no contests and some reschedules and some kind of craziness, I take it, this year.
I think then that's where, I mean, we've got to plan and be prepared to adjust to anything that happens to us along the way.
Okay. All right. How are you going to handle the fans?
Well, right now, with the governor's plan in place, you know, the Indiana is scheduled to be wide open with no limitation on number of people that can attend gatherings. So that's where we're headed. But, you know, we understand that could change. And if the number of people who can gather gets reduced, then we'll do the same thing. I think one thing that's going to be a big determining factor in how we handle things is how the college football season looks also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to look at everything. College football, CDC, governor's office, Department of Education, you know, and all these entities that work well together to this point. And, you know, we learn from each other, and that's kind of where we're going to be in the fall.
Okay. So one thing is, as our good friend Don DeWeese told me not too long ago, it's going to be anything but routine this year.
It is. And I tell you what, you say that name makes me smile. Donnie DeWeese is an old Central Bear, and I've known him for a lot of years, and a good man.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, he's going to retire a little bit earlier than we thought. He pushed up his retirement about 6 months. He was able to do that, so he's going to retire at the end of middle of January this year.
Good for Coach DeWeese.
Yeah,
he's education will be he'll be one that's missed. He'll leave a hole when he walks out.
Yeah, that's for sure. Paul, is there anything else that we're missing that you want to bring up that we need to talk about before I let you go?
No, I just think what I ask for patience, I ask for everybody patience in what we do here. We don't have all the answers. We know that. And if I could provide exact scenarios and what's going to happen, I would do that. But we know it's not going to be normal. We know we're going to get back to game. And we've just got to remain flexible and understanding as we navigate these uncharted waters that we've been dealt here.
By the way, before I let you go, I would be a little bit remiss if I didn't mention, how's Bobby doing, by the way?
Commissioner Cox is doing well. He's, you know, we had a board meeting this week, and, you know, he's marking things off his list that they're the last things, especially within this last month of his leadership. And, you know, we're going to certainly miss him. He's done a great job in his tenure and grown. Education-based athletics, kept a focus on education-based athletics, and he's really doing well. And hoping to make more bogeys, as he puts it, as he gets out there on the golf course a little more.
Okay. You're taking over August 1st, right?
That's right.
Okay. Tell Bobby I said hi, will you, please? I will see if we can't get him on here before he officially walks out the door, too. We'll try and get that happen. Okay, anything else real quick?
I think we're good, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come on with your viewers today, and please know that we appreciate what you guys do.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
Promote high school sports, education-based athletics, small town athletics. I mean, it's special, and you guys make it special, so we really appreciate that.
Thanks, Paul. I greatly appreciate it. Hey, you take good care. Stay safe, whatever you do. We'll catch you a little further down the line, okay?
Anytime.
All right. Take care of yourself.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. That was Paul Neidig, who's going to be the incoming Indiana High School Athletic Association Commissioner starting August 1st. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper, and Tony Theofanis.
State Farm. This is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica. Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
Some of those things like the animals and stuff, we can't. There's a lot of kids that have year-round animals. Maybe we could do something, be more of a regional area type for 4-H. I don't know. That's one of the things that we're asking right now as groups and trying to plan out.
On the air first when seconds count.
Don't have very much experience with e-learning. We just haven't been an e-learning district. But we now have learned that e-learning is more for 1 or 2 days and not meant to be for the long haul.
The news team you've come to depend on.
We want to go ahead and start making plans for getting things open back up and what that's going to look like. But I think that's wishful thinking at this point. We asked everybody to stay vigilant through the 20th, which is next Monday. So I'm hoping, praying that by next Monday we can start relaxing things. But I think it's wishful thinking at this point.
Your official weather station when you need to know. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. And maybe we should say, I'm just glad that we're going to have our next guest on, because we originally had her scheduled for 9:15 this morning, but because of the weather, we didn't quite get it. We still are now going to have Patriot League Commissioner Jennifer Heppel with us. Jennifer, good morning, and thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Good morning to you all.
So is it kind of quiet on the East Coast this morning?
So far, a little bit of rain, but I think it's probably a lot quieter here than it is there for you all.
Gosh, I thought we were going to get around it, and it just decided it wanted to keep going. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the time. So, what is the status of football for your colleges this year?
Well, we are going to do our absolute best to try to play a season. I think that's what everybody's doing. We're approaching it in a manner that is consistent, or I think in conjunction with the reopening of our campuses. So all of our student athletes, including our football student athletes, won't be coming back to campus early, as perhaps has been, the case in prior years. But our campuses are all closed right now. In football, our membership is New York City, Fordham University, D.C., Georgetown, Lehigh, Lafayette, Bucknell are all in Pennsylvania. Colgate is in upstate New York, and then Holy Cross is right outside of Boston. So we're, you know, we're a driving distance football league, but obviously in the Northeast. And so our presidents felt it was important, number one, and as do our athletics administrators and coaches, that the primary goal is to reopen our campuses. And to do that in the, and that's a, you know, that's not an insignificant charge.
That's exactly right. You know? Exactly right.
You know, we remain shut down. Summer programming was canceled. There's no in-campus program on, you know, in-person programming going on any of our campuses. So it's not an integration of football players for a preseason into campuses that are already open. It is a complete reopening of our campuses, and that's a pretty big puzzle to put together. Athletics is a part of it, and we'll bring everybody back, and we'll, you know, start the workouts under obviously very different and very challenging circumstances, and league play will start in late September.
So basically what we're saying is that the way I read this article that was put out earlier this week, it looks like you're going to focus on the conference side of things and more so than the non-conference part of things.
We are. You know, we're trying not to over-regulate at the local level. I think that's something that, you know, separate from athletics, we're seeing nationally that there are just such differing local health standards in terms of how to best manage the pandemic. Our campuses are going to be reopening on different timelines. Mm-hmm. And we have to accept that. You guys are a sports show, right? So a lot of what we spend time talking about is competitive equity. And we're all used to reporting on the same date and starting practices on the same date and the same number of, you know, hours of practice per day starting on the same date. We've got to pivot our thinking on that for this year in all sports and really focus on what does it take for our institutions to reopen, reintegrating student athletes, getting back up and running, and looking at providing the best possible experience that we can for our students and our student athletes. And it's going to be different, but why wouldn't it be, right? Everything's different. The way we're living right now is different. The way campuses are, the way dorms are going to be populated is different. The way dining halls operate is going to be different. The way classes are taught that continued sort of online for a lot of the larger classes. Students might be in a classroom with a faculty member teaching remotely. So, of course, I mean, it would be, let's say, crazy talk to think that athletics is just going to, you know, go back to being normal.
Yeah, there's no way.
So there's no way. And therefore, in order to have an athletic experience, which we do believe is an integral part of the educational mission, we have to accept that it's going to look a little bit different. And we have to, you know, maybe redefine what success is a little in that venue.
You brought up an interesting point when you said all the different areas that you're in over there have had various you know types of outbreaks and those kind of things. And you've got New York as a big part of your community and part of your conference has definitely been at the forefront of a lot of that. So how different does this make, how different or how much more difficult does this make your decision to go ahead and get started in some way?
Well, it's what day is it now? It's June 27th, and the conversation feels different today than it did a week ago.
Okay.
I would say that. Maybe not so much locally, but nationally.
All right.
You know, we've been in a very, very restrictive environment in the Northeast, and we're just sort of trying to phase in a little bit more activity. And it's a big country. There are a lot of different states and local restrictions.
Yeah.
I think, you know, trying to get a little bit too off out of my lane here in terms of talking about athletics.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very challenging. And absolutely that it's not just about keeping students and student athletes safe. We exist within communities.
That's exactly right.
Our communities are trying to adjust and modify how we, how our economies operate, how we live. And we're looking at universities reopening and bringing students from all over the U.S. and all over the world, you know, the world, quite frankly, back mm-hmm. into our communities. And so we have to do that safely.
Right.
Not only for the individuals coming in, but for the individuals that work on our campuses and live in our communities. And then we're all kind of thinking, okay, we're limiting visitors to campuses and we're reducing, you know, the type of programming, the bringing of speakers in and things like that. You know, we're trying to just restrict access and limit movement. Yet then we talk about athletics and the reality is we need each other to compete. Otherwise, it's intramural.
You know,
go ahead.
It's a big
project to contemplate taking a team and competing and doing it as safely as possible, and then coming back and keeping the community safe.
You know, the thing is, just like us here, we here in this area where we're at, we're just right in between Lafayette and Indianapolis. We're not doing too bad at all here, but the state. Parts of the state are not doing well at all. So,
right.
I mean, and that just kind of reflects on what we're talking about. Certain parts are doing really well, and certain parts are not
mm-hmm.
doing well at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that just creates a problem.
It is. The conferences are, you know, we're microcosms of what's happening nationally. You know, you look across all of the states, and then within the states, things are going very differently. And within a conference, I mentioned our 7 football schools. We have 10 full members. We go from D.C. up to Boston to mm-hmm. Western New York and yep. the New York City area and Pennsylvania. And even, you know, I live in Pennsylvania. Our league offices are in eastern Pennsylvania. And we're, you know, maybe 15 minutes from the Jersey border. But Bucknell is in central Pennsylvania. Central Pennsylvania has experienced this very differently than eastern Pennsylvania. So we have to, you're managing and you have to respect all of those differences.
So, yes,
it's a challenge. It's going to be a challenge.
What kind of advice would you give your people who attend your things, attend your athletic events, and then what advice are you going to give to your people who you're going to be trying to keep safe?
Yeah, well, you know, right now, I said it's June 27th. My advice right now will be meaningless in a few months.
Yeah.
So right now, my advice is consistent with, you know, local health authority and always will be. But we're not having events right now, and there's a reason for that.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully we can get there. We're trying to put together a model that will line us up for successful competition.
Okay.
So
all right.
We've got a lot of work to do and a lot of time to go.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add before I let you go? I don't mean to, I'm trying to
no,
cut you
it's
short. It's just,
yeah, no. I know you guys, just stay safe.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to tell everybody.
Yeah.
Be safe and hopefully this works out.
Respect each other and stay safe.
That's exactly right. Jennifer, thanks for the time. Thanks for making time for us. And good luck to you guys over there on the East Coast.
Okay.
And we will talk to you later on, okay?
Yes. Good luck to you all as
all right.
well. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Jennifer Heppel, who is the commissioner of the Patriot League, Patriot Conference on the East Coast. We're going to take a quick break here and be right back. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
your free local online newspaper. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678. And put the life back in life insurance.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left here in the show. Any quick comments or questions, 659-3338 or 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. Been an interesting show. We started the day with Frankfort High School Athletic Director Ed Niehaus before we got cut off the air by a thunderstorm that hit here close here, so we were off for about 10 minutes. But then since then, we've had new or incoming Indiana High School Athletic Association Commissioner Paul Knighty with us. And then we just had a quick conversation with the Commissioner of the Patriot League, Jennifer Heppel. She was with us there for a quick minute here, too. Couple things I do want to mention before we get out of here. Morehouse College, a historically black college in Atlanta, announced yesterday that it is canceling its 2020 football season because of the coronavirus pandemic. Morehouse will also not compete in cross country, its other fall sport this year, as Morehouse President David A. Thomas said the school will continue to honor athletic scholarships. Morehouse is believed to be the first full scholarship football program to cancel its 2020 season, although at least 4 games involving HBCU schools such as the Southern Heritage Classic between Jackson State and Tennessee State have been canceled. Morehouse, competes as the NCAA Division II level, was scheduled to open its season on September the 5th in Atlanta against Edward Waters College. So they are now done for the year, as is Bowdoin College up in Brunswick, Maine. They canceled their season this week as well. They went a little further. They decided they were going to go to January the 1st. So all their fall sports is done as well. But the uncertainty around the 2020 season is swirling, and one small school made big waves on Monday as Bowdoin College, an NCAA Division III school located in Brunswick, Maine, announced it will not participate in intercollegiate sports during the fall semester. They play in the New England Small College Athletic Conference. The decision comes a day after the school released a detailed plan of how students will return to campuses. Sophomores, juniors, seniors will participate in remote learning classes during the fall semester with a few exceptions. Freshmen, transfer students who take classes remotely, and senior honor classes who can't properly participate with their work online will be residential online, will be allowed on campus. So the coronavirus pandemic has definitely taken its toll, and there are two schools right now who are definitely not going to be doing anything this fall. One reminder we need to make you. Next Saturday, of course, is Saturday, July the 4th. We will not be doing a show next week. We're going to take a week off to honor America and just kind of kick back a little bit and retool everything. Our next show will be on Saturday, July the 11th. That'll be our next show for you on the air here. So, and that's just so we let you know, we will not be on next Saturday morning. It's going to wrap it up for our show this week. Our thanks to our guests. Our also thanks to our sponsors, who are State Farm Insurance Agent Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm Ken Hartman. You take care. Have a great week, and we'll see you on the 11th. Take care. Bye-bye.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.